Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much and good morning. If you keep up with the news, you cannot be unaware of the death of Dr. Barnett Slepian, a New York abortionist. He was shot to death by a sniper using a high-powered rifle. As of this writing, Wednesday, October the 28th, 1998, Dr. Slepian's murderer has not been found. The local police, the state troopers, and the FBI are making every effort to locate and apprehend the killer. I, for one, hope he can be found and will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Our country cannot permit the citizens to take the law into their own hands. Even though what Dr. Slepian was doing was murder, at least from a Christian viewpoint, we cannot allow anyone on his own to become the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Several observations need to be made before we examine what the news media are saying about Dr. Slepian's death. The United States is supposed to be a nation ruled and regulated by law, not the caprice of its citizens. Like it or not, and I do not always like it. In fact, I detest it. Abortion is legal on demand in our country. The majority of our people apparently approve abortion. Not all forms of abortion, and certainly not so-called partial birth abortions. But abortion is legal, even though it is grossly immoral. So long as abortion is legal, doctors have a legal right to take the lives of babies in their mother's womb. That means we cannot, on our own, go about killing abortionists. It is not legal. It is not moral. It is not Christian. Since the majority of Americans support some form of abortion, especially to save the life of the mother, we must use the law, not abuse it, to stop abortion. How can we stop abortion since it is legal in every state in the Union? There are two possibilities. Every person in the United States who opposes the killing of innocent babies should refuse to patronize any doctor or clinic or hospital which practices abortion. When I go to doctors, I make it a point to ask, "Do you practice abortion?" In most cases, I know the answer before I ask. But if a doctor said he did practice abortion or that he approved it, I would simply not go back to see him. In addition, I would urge my friends, family members, and fellow church members to avoid that doctor. Since most physicians cannot make a living just by performing abortions, most of them would have to cease their bloody business. Is that being unfair and unchristian? My friends, you have the right to spend your money as you believe you should. You also have the right to choose which doctor you will support. You also have a right, as an American citizen, to protest any act you consider to be evil. If Americans would use their perfectly legal and perfectly moral right to boycott certain businesses or professions, we could stop abortion. One of the doctors I have been seeing for almost 20 years is getting ready to retire. He and I have become friends. When I visit him, we sit for several minutes and discuss scripture and certain moral issues which concern both of us. He also requests tapes of the sermons I preach, both on our local stations and on the International Gospel Hour. On one of my visits to this good doctor, I asked him about abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, and physician-assisted suicide. He replied, "I became a doctor to save lives, not to destroy them." Will you ask your doctor how he stands on these bioethical issues? If he kills babies or approves the killing of babies, will you please consider changing doctors? Reason with him first. But if he will not cease killing babies, take your business elsewhere. If enough people do that, he will have to quit his nefarious business. Pro-life people have a sacred obligation to boycott every abortionist in the United States. Over the long haul, the most effective way of stopping abortion is to convince the American people that it is immoral, unchristian, un-American, and just plain foolish. Pro-life people have morality, reason, and the future welfare of the nation on their side. Our morality must be rooted in the Scriptures. How could anyone who believes the Bible doubt even for 1 minute that killing babies is immoral? Reason tells us that killing babies by abortion will eventually lead to infanticide and to euthanasia. In fact, there is strong evidence it has already done that in some cases. How absolutely foolish for any nation to murder its future citizens. We have killed about 40 million of our future citizens. Who will pay the Social Security taxes which are necessary to keep the older citizens alive? Where will we get our laborers to harvest our crops, to man our military establishment, and to keep our industrial complex operating? There is already a shortage of workers in some parts of the country. In many places, it will get worse in the not-too-distant future. Abortion may not be the only cause of worker shortage, but it is a major one. Incidentally, some colleges and universities will have to close their doors because we have killed, since 1973, nearly 40 million potential students. I also want to mention in passing that we should use our voting power to turn pro-abortion politicians out to pasture. If our elected officials believe in killing babies, they should not be in our local courthouses, in the state capitals, and in Washington. If all people who honestly believe in life would organize to vote out of office those who support abortion, we would send a message which politicians could not ignore. The political solution, however, is not a permanent one. The permanent solution must be moral and spiritual. We must change hearts, since, as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. Actually, all our actions come from the heart. Is that not what Solomon meant when he wrote, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4:23. The editorial writers for the Tennessean, at least most of them, vigorously defend abortion and abortionists. Tragically, the editorials in the Tennessean give ample evidence of illogical thinking, of approving of immoral conduct, and of inadequate research. The Tennessean, Wednesday, October 28, 1998, published an editorial entitled, "The Tragedy of Rhetoric." The editorial asserts, "Let there be no mistake about the circumstances surrounding the killing of Dr. Barnett Slepian in Buffalo, New York, last weekend. There can be no halving the truth. It was terrorism and murder. What Dr. Slepian does for a living is neither." Page 18a. I readily agree, as I have already stated, that Dr. Slepian's death was murder, inexcusable, stupid murder. How do some people who call themselves pro-life believe they can win others to their cause when they themselves are anti-life? But the Tennessean is dead wrong when it says that Dr. Slepian's actions in performing abortions is neither terrorism nor murder. It might not, at least by some definitions, be called terrorism, but it is murder, regardless of the opinions of the editorial writers at the Tennessean. They may not call it murder. The law of the land does not call it murder. But all who have respect for the Word of God will call it murder. The great book of Proverbs says there are 6 things the Lord hates, yea, 7 that are abominations in His sight. One of these abominations is hands which shed innocent blood. Proverbs 6:17. Is anyone so evil that he approves of shedding innocent blood? Are little children in their mother's wombs guilty of some egregious error or sin? And do not be so foolish or ignorant as to contend that the baby in its mother's womb is not a baby. There is not a physician on the face of God's earth who does not know that what is conceived of a human father and a human mother is a human baby. He or she may not think babies are worth saving and honoring, but all doctors know, even if other people may not, that the entity in the mother's body is a human baby. Incidentally, the Bible uses the Greek word brephos of the baby before it is born and after it is born. But you do not have to be a Bible believer to understand what is in the mother's womb. Even uneducated, backward, ignorant people have that much understanding. And the editorial writers of the prestigious national paper do not know that a baby is in its mother's body. The news media and Dr. Slepian's neighbors spoke of him as a great doctor. He had delivered hundreds, perhaps thousands of babies. But he also killed hundreds, perhaps thousands of babies. Did it ever dawn on Dr. Slepian how schizophrenic his behavior was? He delivered some babies because their mothers thought they were babies. He killed other babies because their mothers thought they were not babies, or at least were not babies worth keeping. If Dr. Slepian were the only doctor so confused and so brutal, that would be cause for concern. But we are talking of hundreds of doctors who kill on whim, the whim of the mother, of society in general, and of many within the medical profession. Do such attitudes and actions bode well for the future of our great nation? Could abortion, has abortion, led to infanticide, euthanasia, and physician-assisted suicide? Are we on a slippery slope, which might lead to the killing of handicapped, the sick, the old, and people who just do not meet our standards of a good life? The Tennessean says that Dr. Slepian performed legal abortions. We cannot quarrel with that observation. The United States Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand, which shows how utterly uncaring, unconscionable, un-American, and unreasonable our courts can be. There is not a man on the face of God's earth who can find the right to abortion in the United States Constitution. The Supreme Court's decision in Roe v. Wade has been condemned even by some who support abortion, such as Lawrence Tribe of Harvard. But does an action become right because it is legal? It was legal in Germany during the Nazi regime to kill non-productive old people, handicapped people, and others Hitler did not like. Did that make his actions right? Killing babies after they were born has been legal in many pagan nations for centuries. It was legal in ancient Greece and in Rome to expose unwanted babies to the elements. If the parents did not want girl babies or handicapped babies, they could kill them in whatever way they chose. They were not equipped to abort babies as are modern doctors and hospitals. So they waited until the babies were born to determine if their babies would be permitted to live. In modern China, parents are not allowed to have more than one child. If the mother gets pregnant a second time, she has two choices. She can have the baby aborted, or she can kill the child who is already alive. If the live child is a girl, and the baby in its mother's womb is a boy, the girl will likely be killed. But China is a godless communist nation, whose moral values are whatever the people in power say they are. How can you explain the cruelty of our nation, which claims to be Christian? The Tennessean says, most abortion opponents, while decrying the crimes, have provided the fuel with inflammatory rhetoric. That silly statement deserves serious refutation. The editorial writers are correct, so far as I have been able to determine, that most abortion opponents decry the crimes of murder, whether the killing of an abortionist or the killing of babies in their mother's bodies. We believe, at least I believe, that all murder is wrong. But to say that our rhetoric or speech provides motivation for the killing of abortionists is irresponsible, illogical, and just plain downright stupid. Let me explain. For more than a half century, I have spoken out against the manufacturers, distributors, and retail sellers of beverage alcohol. I have shown scripturally and medically over and over how wrong it is for people to sell and to drink whiskey, beer, wine, and other alcoholic beverages. But in all these years, I have never recommended that those who make and distribute this death-dealing drug be killed. I know how many lives they take, how many homes they destroy, how much damage they do to our communities, and how deceptive they are in promoting their drug called alcohol. I have used strong language, which has angered the supporters of beverage alcohol. But I would be strongly opposed to killing these people. Pornographers do untold damage to the moral values of the American people. They exploit children and adults by using them in the making of smut. Who has done more harm to the sexual conduct of our people than Larry Flint, Hugh Hefner, and similar sleazy characters? But those who oppose pornography do their cause great harm when they shoot or brutalize the smut sellers. We must get rid of pornography in legal ways, not by killing the sellers or the readers of smut. I have used strong language in speaking out against the most gruesome business in the world, killing little babies. I cannot speak of this great evil without being specific about the deeds of the abortion providers and of those who support the right to kill babies just because someone does not want them. We're not talking about a minor infraction of the law of man or even of the law of God. We're speaking of killing our most precious beings, our offspring, our babies. Are we expected to speak in soft, smooth words about this unspeakable evil? On the other hand, Dr. Donald Spitz, head of the pro-life organization in Virginia, made a grievous blunder when he called the man who killed Dr. Slepian a hero for ending Dr. Slepian's bloodthirsty practice. Dr. Slepian's abortion activity was a bloodthirsty practice. There is not even the slightest doubt about that. But does that make his killer a hero? He is not a hero. He is a dunce. He has set the pro-life movement back years. And so did the killer of Dr. Gunn. We cannot kill those with whom we disagree, even though they may be guilty of vicious activities, such as killing babies, either born or unborn. I repeat what I said a few minutes ago. We are not the judges, juries, and executioners of evil people. Colonel John O'Connor of New York called the killing of Dr. Slepian wrong, and then asked Americans to be just as angered by those who practice or endorse abortion. The Tennessean was outraged by Cardinal O'Connor's statements. But the Tennessean was wrong in his criticisms of Cardinal O'Connor. We ought to be so disturbed and outraged by abortion that we never let our people forget for a moment what abortion is doing and will do to our nation. We cannot act as if babies are not being slaughtered for the convenience of their mothers and to make physicians rich. Do we not know that silence can be sinful? With God's help, I plan to speak often and vigorously against all evil, including abortion. God will hold us accountable if we fail to do so. The Tennessean called Dr. Slepian a devoted family man. How can a devoted family man kill so many members of so many families? And what if some of the children he aborted were his own children? Would the Tennessean still refer to him as a devoted family man? I suspect Dr. Slepian loved his wife and children. I have no reason to believe otherwise. But that, dear friends, is not enough. We must love other families as well. And how can we love other families and kill some of the members of those families? The Tennessean says Dr. Slepian was the victim of crime, not a criminal. If they meant he had a right to kill babies in their mother's womb, obviously the editorial writers are correct. That is the law of this country. In the sight of the law, he is not a criminal. But in the sight of God and the good men, he was a criminal. We cannot kill the babies which God himself formed in the mother's womb without violating the will of God and flaunting our disregard for what he has revealed in the Bible. Hank Hanegraaff's new book, The Phase That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, shows the connection between abortion and evolution. In chapter 6, Hanegraaff discusses the recapitulation theory. Ernst Haeckel, a German biologist, believed and popularized the idea that the development of the individual goes through all the stages of the development of the species. In other words, at some time during the growth of the human embryo, it has the appearance of a frog, a fish, non-primate animals before it becomes recognizably human. Even though this theory still appears in some high school biology textbooks, there is not a reputable scientist in the world who believes it. Haeckel actually fudged evidence to show the development of the embryo through various stages. Haeckel's dishonesty was so blatant that he was charged with fraud by five professors and convicted by a university court in Jena. Yet oddly enough, Dr. Carl Sagan, knowing that Haeckel's theory was not valid, wrote, "Haeckel held that in its embryological development, an animal tends to repeat or recapitulate the sequence that its ancestors followed during their evolution. And indeed, in human intrauterine development, we run through stages very much like fish, reptiles, and non-primate mammals before we become recognizably human. The fish stage even has gill slits, which are absolutely useless for the embryo who is nourished by the umbilical cord, but a necessity for human embryology. Since gills were vital to our ancestors, we run through a gill stage in becoming human." Dr. Sagan could not have been ignorant of his inexcusable blunders. The so-called gill slits are not gill slits at all, as any reputable biologist knows. They are essential parts of the human anatomy. They have been there since God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Hank Hanegraaff quotes Carl Sagan as saying that determining when a fetus becomes human could play a major role in achieving acceptable compromise in the abortion debate. Dr. Sagan thought babies become human toward the end of the first trimester or near the beginning of the second trimester. Page 96. In other words, since the entity in the mother's womb is probably still a fish or a reptile or some other animal, it would be perfectly all right to abort the baby. How absolutely ridiculous. When a baby is conceived, it is fully human. One of the leading geneticists in the world is Dr. Jerome L. Lejeune. Dr. Lejeune came to the United States to testify before a United States Senate subcommittee. These are his words: "To accept the fact that after fertilization has taken place, a new human has come into being is no longer a matter of taste or opinion. The human nature of the human being from conception to old age is not a metaphysical or religious contention. It is plain experimental evidence." Page 99. Hanegraaff also quotes these words from Dr. Jaime Gordon, a professor of medical genetics and a physician at the famous Mayo Clinic. "I think we can also now say that the question of the beginning of life, when life begins, is no longer a question for theological or philosophical dispute. It is an established scientific fact. Theologians and philosophers may go on debating the meaning of life or the purpose of life, but it is an established fact that all life, including human life, begins at the moment of conception." Page 99. I want to close our discussion today by reading some really radical statements from Hank Hanegraaff's book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Religion. The first of these statements comes from Beverly Harrison, a professor of Christian ethics at Union Theological Seminary in New York. "Infanticide," she says, "is not a great wrong. I do not want to be construed as condemning women who, under certain circumstances, quietly put their infants to death." Page 141. Esther Langston is professor of social work at the University of Nevada at Las Vegas. She writes, "What we are saying is that abortion becomes one of the choices, and the person has the right to choose whatever it is that is best for them in the situation in which they find themselves, be it abortion, to keep the baby, to adopt it, to sell it, to leave it in a dumpster, to put it on your porch, whatever. It's the person's right to choose. Page 141. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood and a woman with the morals of barnyard animals, said the most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill it. Page 142. There are people in our nation who say that the abortion debate has gone on long enough. Of this, dear friends, you can be absolutely sure. It will continue so long as there is one person who respects the Word of God and human life enough to speak out against killing babies. Those who love God and the ones He has made in His image cannot be silent. If we were to quit speaking out against abortion, the wrath of God would rest upon us. May God help all of us to oppose with all our might any attack on our children. Thank you for listening, and may God continue to bless and keep you.